Good Friday. It is Good Friday is daunting and painful at best. It's really not good at all. Of course, for us, we know that it's good because we know the end. We know that Jesus dies on the cross and he raises again. And when I read the scripture and I open my Bible, it's easy for me to skip past the painful passages. It's easy for me to go straight to the Isaiah promise that we'll fly on wings like eagles, or when Joshua hears from God, be strong and courageous, or go directly to the Psalms where when you call on the name of the Lord, he will answer. It's just easier to look away. After all, the human condition, in most tragic situations, we watch for a moment, then we quickly look away. It's even more apparent now in our technology age. One tragic moment happens, and then we look to the next one, and we look away. But I want to encourage you in this moment right now not to look away from the cross. Don't look away from his hands and his feet, from the crown of thorns that rest on his head because of our sin. Those who were at the foot of the cross, they couldn't look away. Jesus' own mother, there seeing him be crucified, could not look away. His family, Mary Magdalene. Luke 23 says that all who knew him watched from a distance. They could not look away. His disciples were scattered and afraid. I wonder if you might be able to find yourself there right now at the foot of the cross, looking at his hands and his feet and the crown of thorns on his head. You see, the Jesus followers of the time didn't know Sunday was coming. This was a moment of panic, of grief, of a shaken spirit. And Jesus had warned them that this was going to happen. He had warned them that this curse of sin had to be destroyed. In Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. You see, sometimes I think we forget that Jesus was human in every way. Of course, we've talked about the physical pain of Jesus he had to endure. And it is so hard and difficult for us to grasp that. The beating, the whipping, the smashed thorns on the head, the carrying of his own cross, the Romans who specialized in this type of torture. There is no denying the physical pain that he suffered. But I also can't deny the emotional pain. One that was sinless, who came in the world sinless, felt all the weight of the sin at one moment. One who had never felt loneliness before was lonely. One who never felt shame before felt the weight of shame. One who had never felt guilt bore all the guilt for us in separation. Jesus felt all of these things so that we would not have to. He suffered relationally. His disciples, they deserted him. They left him. Peter denied him, and one would betray him and give him up. He was staring at his own mother, watching while he took his last breath. But more important than all of these, he was separated from his father. He was separated from his father, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There is no denying his suffering, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But I want you to know tonight in this moment, the cross that we celebrate and we wear around our necks and put on our rings and wear on our shirts, this suffering tool that we look at, and we look at it hope as hope, he did it willingly for you. John 10:18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to take it up and lay it down. This command I received from my Father. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. One of the beautiful things about the cross and about Jesus' death, of course, is the forgiveness of sin. Of course, of him freeing us from sin and death, but in his last moments, his heart was good. If there's anything that I want you to grab onto in this moment, of course, is the forgiveness of sin through the cross, but that Jesus has always been good. He's always been good at his last moment, and he is good at this very moment now. To the Pharisees, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He seeks forgiveness for the mockers. To the thief on the cross, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Grace for the sinner. And to his own mother, he sends her away with his beloved disciple, "Behold thy son, behold thy mother." He honored his mother. The weight of sin was on full display at the cross, yet Jesus loved us still. All of the stress of the world on Jesus, but he only poured out love. How often do we get so stressed and pulled at every way, and love does not come out of us? Anger, fear, worry, doubt, but not Jesus. Not when he was hanging on the cross. He was the good shepherd, and the only thing that poured out of him was love. Because he's always good. In front of you, you have communion cups. We're going to take communion together in just a moment. So if you want to grab those and prepare those, we'll take that together. Today, as we take communion, I hope that the bread that we take and the wine or the juice in there that we drink is just a little bit more meaningful and a little bit more heavy to you. That when we say his body was broken for us, we remember the way that his body was broken. And that his blood was shed, that we remember why his blood was shed, and we stop and search our hearts and ask the Lord, is there anything in us that is not for you? Jesus, he did not leave us without hope. Because see, this is what he was doing. It was the great reversal. Adam and Eve, remember, they were disobedient in the garden, but Jesus, he was obedient in the garden to his Father. Adam and Eve hid in shame in their nakedness because of their sin. But Jesus himself hung on the cross in nakedness and defeated all shame. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world, and Jesus would defeat the power of sin by his death and leaving through his death. It's the great reversal to turn the world upside down. This is what the cross has done. And we let the heaviness of our own sin weigh on us to know that his sacrifice was for every one of those sins. And we cannot do it without his sacrifice. I wonder if you would think about your own great reversal in your heart when God had reversed all the shame and guilt and sin when you said yes to him. I wonder if you would think about that now. If you have your communion in front of you, you can take the bread out. And Jesus said, when we are together as church and we're two or more together, you take it and you say, this is the body, this bread signifies the body broken for you. We take, we eat, and remember. And likewise, he took the cup. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, the new way, where I'll reside in your heart. This is my blood shed for you. You take, you drink, and remember. In just a minute, we're going to sing one more song as we conclude our time. And below me here, you'll see a candle that has been lit and that signifies Christ. It's the Christ candle. We use at Advent. And in a minute, we're going to blow that candle out to signify Jesus being put in the tomb, and this tomb, the stone being rolled over the tomb. And to signify and to stand in the same presence as the disciples and his mother, who did not know he would raise again, we're going to leave in silence tonight. So that the next song that is sung in here, the next cries that are cried in here, are the cries of freedom because of the resurrection. And because of the joy that is set before him, he endured the cross so that we might be free of sin and death. And so I'm going to sing for us. And then when we are done, Todd's going to come and blow this candle out. And that will be your cue to progress out in silence. When you get to the parking lot, you're welcome to talk. But the progression out signifies Jesus in the tomb. And when we return here on Sunday, may our voices be 10 times as loud as they ever have been, claiming this promise that Jesus, he has risen indeed. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you, and we are grateful for how you have loved us through the cross. We cannot imagine the physical affliction, the emotional and spiritual separation that you felt. But in that moment on the cross, we can see over and over the good shepherd, the one who is always good, who his heart is overflowing with love, even at the worst moment, naked on the cross, still loved us. So God, as we sing this song and as we prepare our hearts for Sunday, may you help us really kind of set in the weight of that, putting our eyes where the disciples are back way 2,000 years ago in their fear and panic, not knowing that you would raise, but the moment that they realize it happens, how their heart is overwhelmed, that their friend has come back, that their Savior has come back for them. So God, we love you and we are grateful. Pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.